All right, of course, there wouldn't be any need for this if the banks were all nationalised, which would be what the a left government, certainly the proponents of it in People Before Profit, would be calling for. They've written invitations to some parties calling for them to join a left government. They've excluded other people. Pauline O'Reilly, you don't meet this category. Shane Castles, even though Sean Lamass once described Fianna Fáil as the real Labour Party, you don't meet the criterion. And
we're socialists. Charlie McCreevy said that. We're socialists, yeah.
That's right.
Paul
Donnelly, you got the letter, but I think there are some unkind words in the proposal for a left government that was released today. But We're going to have a talk with an expert on this, Kevin Cunningham, who is a pollster and somebody who knows what way the numbers would fall, and see if this is effectively an academic proposal or a realistic prospect. He's on the line now. Kevin, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Colin.
What is the future for a left government if it starts lopping off various unworthy arms before the votes have even been cast?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, look, it's quite an interesting proposal. And I think, based on the current poll of polls, the left-wing parties, and you're talking about Sinn Féin plus Social Democrats plus the Green Party plus PVP plus the Social Democrats, that would be 46% of the vote.
Are you including Labour in the poll of polls there? Sorry.
I am, because at the end of the day, you know, even if you take away Labour, it's much less likely. The existing sort of coalition that they put together, you know, you're talking about take away another 4%, so it'd be 42%. So they'd be a good bit off in terms of vote share. But, you know, our system is verging proportional, so you can't really take the proportion that people get in terms of the opinion polls or in terms of their votes on polling day and treat that as the percentage of seats that they're going to get. In fact, you know, the larger parties tend to get a slight seat bonus. So, for example, if Sinn Féin, as they are currently, on 32.5%, you'd expect them to yield around 37% of the seats on the basis of the historical relationship between votes and seats in historical elections.
Right. So does it make sense then for a coalition of smaller parties to contest as if they were a bigger Popular Front style offering in order to try and get something similar to the bounce that a large party would get?
It's a good question. I mean, that bounce only really starts to kick in once you get above 30%. So those smaller parties, if you add them together, in the last election, they got 17% of the vote and 18% of the seats. But that kind of even small bounce that they got was principally a function of the fact that Sinn Féin just didn't stand enough candidates. So normally, small parties perform relatively poorly because of an inefficiency in their vote, because, you know, they're picking up votes in lots of constituencies where they're not necessarily competitive, basically. I mean, you're thinking about outside of Dublin in this case. But, you know, if you combine that Sinn Féin vote plus these kind of smaller parties, you know, you'd probably expect, in combined, and I'm including Labour, around 45% of the seats the next election, which is, you know, short, basically, of any chance of getting a majority, I guess.
Right. And on the basis of political science definitions alone, was it wrong to leave out the Greens and Labour in this this party invitation?
Yeah, well, I think it's somewhat implausible on the one hand. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to completely disregard this sort of suggestion, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of electoral volatility in elections. You know, historically speaking, political parties would, on average, increase or decrease by about 4% from one election to the next. Nowadays, across Europe, the average for the last decade is around 8 or 9%. So given that electoral volatility, you know, a lot of these parties are, you know, within striking distance still of, you know, these potential majorities. Of course, without the Green Party and the Labour Party, this kind of putative coalition probably has very little chance. But, you know, it's also the case that the current government also has relatively little chance of being reformed after the next election.
Right.
Because their votes are also down to very similar numbers.
Finally and briefly, did we have a dry run for this in the vote left, transfer left in the last general election that would give us some indication as to, you know, how this would play out?
I think, as you say, on the one hand, the vote left transfer left worked to some extent, although, you know, it definitely helped support for People for Profit, who normally would have a pretty poor seats and votes ratio. So they actually benefited significantly, principally, as you say, because, you know, Sinn Féin didn't perform as well. But there's a lot of transfer patterns that are just naturally evolving. I mean, that pattern between Sinn Féin and People for Profit existed in 2011 and in 2016. And similarly, you know, the same sort of patterns were existing between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and increasingly exist. So I think voters themselves make up their own mind in terms of their kind of transfer patterns and where they're going to move their votes. And you do have, you know, you do have this kind of relationship between Sinn Féin and People for Profit, but you also have an entirely separate kind of ecosystem between the Green Party, Social Democrats and Labour votes. And for those parties, you know, more so than, you know, the absence of Sinn Féin surplus, the issue for those parties is which of those three parties is going to be sort of in last place, you know, because the one that's in last place is effectively going to be red meat for whoever the kind of the bigger parties of that kind of grouping is.
All right. Kevin Cunningham from Technical University Dublin and Ireland Thinks. Thanks very much for joining us on the line. So, Paul, very briefly, what was in the letter?
It was a pamphlet about, it was, I suppose, posited as a pamphlet about getting rid of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to, you know, put the blame for 100 years of problems at their door. But realistically, what it was an invitation to either a transfer pact or a voting pact, because they feel that a left-wing government would be the best option for Ireland at the next general election, whenever that might be. Like you said, look, leaving Labour out of it, leaving the Green Party out of it, effectively meant that it wasn't a leaflet so much about Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. It was about anyone who's been in government in recent years.
Right.
You know, like Kevin said, I'm not entirely sure that the seats would be there without Labour and the Green Party if you wanted to form a left government the next time around.
Pauline O'Reilly, does the Green Party care whether it's regarded as being left enough to meet this invitation?
I think it's, you know, this isn't about left-wing, because I don't think that everyone in those parties would identify themselves as being left-wing, who was in that letter, number one. And number two, I do think PPP are very much dependent on surpluses from Sinn Féin last time. And so, look, there's something going on internally there that's probably nothing to do with us either. But I think that Paul is quite correct here. What's quite obvious about that letter is everybody who's not been in government was sent the letter, and everybody who has been in government wasn't sent the letter. And I think that PPP have questions to answer as to whether they can actually, you know, leave the moral purity to one side and actually roll up sleeves and say, we're not going to achieve everything that we want, but we are prepared to go into government. That's what the Green Party did. We knew we wouldn't achieve everything, but we are achieving by anyone's standards a lot more than we would have done if we hadn't gone into government. And that those are the kind of decisions that parties have to make, and they have to be answerable to their electorate.
Paul Donnelly, Mary Lou MacDonald got the letter, but in its pamphlet today, People Before Profit accused you of being sized up to be house trained by Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael in government, echoing of the words, I think, it David Trimble, wasn't it, talking about house training before you'd be allowed into government. But they say so on the basis of your time in government with the DUP, if anyone can remember back that far, that you were also complicit in austerity. That was what their main critique was.
Yeah. Well, look, come here. Look, Sinn Féin's strong preferences for a government without Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. But ultimately, that's up to the people to decide. We would prefer a government of the left. And that's something that we'll be striving forward for. Look,
you'll be running more candidates next time to make sure are that government to the left, will you?
100%.
Right, okay. Shane Castles, that same pamphlet, accused Fianna Fáil in cahoots with the Catholic Church of exercising control of the country through channels as diverse and exotic as primary school teachers, the GAA and Dublin taxi drivers. I think it'd be only fair to offer you a chance to briefly rebut that one.
Yeah, well, I think that they might remember about the huge significance the Catholic Church and the GAA and Fianna Fáil all played in the formation and the development of the most young, vibrant economic country in Western Europe. So maybe we'll give them an oral history lesson and they'll be much happier in the morning. But I think as well, what really is at play here is that they're afraid of getting cannibalised by Sinn Féin, who'll eat them without salt for breakfast. And when we talk about 100 years of this country, I know Fianna Fáil are going to be going in fighting for this election in with renewed vigour and looking forward to it.
All right. OK, we'll be back after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.